Hi, my name is Steve Rogers, and I'm director of the IBM Center for Applied Insights. Today, we'll be discussing software as a service. As cloud computing evolves, software as a service, or SaaS, is experiencing exponential growth. Moreover, our recent research suggests that forward-thinking organizations are using cloud to gain competitive advantage. To learn more, we studied 879 SaaS decision makers in IT and line of business functions to understand why and how organizations are using SaaS applications. We found that enterprises who broadly adopt SaaS for competitive advantage are more likely to follow a clear SaaS strategy and see IT in the line of business collaborating on execution. These enterprises are not only using SaaS for enterprise efficiency, but are also making better decisions, increasing collaboration, and achieving market agility. Today, I'll be exploring these findings with Craig Heyman, the General Manager for IBM Software Industry Solutions. Craig, welcome, and thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks very much. I'm pleased to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you. So, Craig, we learned that about 80% of our sample see reducing total cost of ownership as their chief motivator for using SaaS. However, there's a forward-thinking group of companies that are more motivated by collaboration, customer experience, faster time to market. Are you surprised that some enterprises are going beyond cost efficiency to competitive advantage, or does that reflect what you're seeing with clients?
Yeah, and you know, what's interesting for me, Steve, is behind this survey, you know, for every one of these pieces of insights that you pulled out, I have like customer example after customer example, and let me use one here to illustrate this. This is where total cost of ownership as being one of the motivators. But of course, this is not just total cost of ownership of the solution, but also cost of ownership for the business to move more quickly. So one example here is a company called Wakefern Group. If you happen to be in the United States in the Northeast, there are these grocery stores called ShopRite and PriceRite. And the Wakefern Group owns or runs, it's a cooperative for these stores. What we did through as a service was pricing optimization. So entirely as a service, for a period of several weeks early in the spring of 2013, we were able to predict, again, as a service, how many units of a certain product they would sell based on the price. And it turns out, so for example, if you were to buy 10 Chobani yogurts for $10, that was one item that we had predicted how many units would sell based on the price. And it turns out over the period of that we ran this trial with the Wakefern Group, we were able to get a 5% accuracy, within 5% accuracy of volume and price combinations, entirely as a service. And so what that meant for the Wakefern Group was 3.9% increase in revenue and a 3.6% increase in profit. And so then, of course, what you can imagine is the Wakefern Group went to their board. They explained what had happened around this. They wanted to expand the optimization of prices and volume prediction, which helps them with their trucking and distribution and logistics, of course. You know, if you price things appropriately, you don't have to ship them around. You don't have to worry about spoilage. And we extended what is our pricing optimization into now the Wakefern Group and ShopRite and PriceRite. This is, I think, a good example of reducing the cost of ownership. They didn't have to buy the IT. They didn't have to buy the hardware. They didn't have to buy the software. They didn't have to buy the labor to install and configure it and what have you. Rather, they were buying pricing optimization. And that's what we give them as a service.
That's a great example. That's a great example of buying by service. You know, and it sounds like it was, in that particular case, somewhat integral to their strategy. And one of the things we noticed that forward-thinking groups were twice as likely to have a cohesive enterprise SaaS strategy and four times as likely to believe that SaaS was a critical piece of their overall enterprise approach to cloud. What are some other instances you've seen of good enterprise cloud strategies, and how has SaaS played an integral role in that?
Yeah, I think as compared to my first example, where they were really focused on In this case, pricing optimization. That was a singular focus, and good for them in doing that. There, we have other customers who have perhaps used an as-a-service capability in one or more parts of their business already, gotten more comfortable with it, and are very, eager or okay or open to deploying new business systems as a service. As in, they've gone through the organizational dialogue internally, or whether they gone through any concerns they may have internally, such as privacy, security, such as the data centers, separation of concerns, things like this. They've gone through that, and now the line of business is their strategy is such that they will solve the business problem in the best way they can, either on-prem or as a service. And so one example here is I can't tell you the name of the company. It's a worldwide coffee house chain. It's coffee and food. And you can imagine in their environment, they have thousands of suppliers, things that companies that deliver products to them that then enter into their supply chain that they then sell. So they have to source and procure those goods and services. So we bid and won and have deployed what is our mTORIS sourcing and procurement system to them. Now, what's interesting is that the customer was a line of business. The line of business had a project manager. And if you think about the work that we did, it wasn't just the getting delivery of the as-a-service sourcing and procurement contracts management system, which was pretty straightforward. We also helped them with the onboarding of several thousand of their suppliers into the system. So that was a piece of work that their business, the forward-thinking group, the business leaders understood that they needed to move their suppliers into the system and had understood that work. And then also, then with the IT team, they wanted to extend their single sign-on, which is so that you then would have a different user ID for the IBM system. They wanted to have their own employee or supplier ID, use those IDs to sign into our as-a-service sourcing and procurement system. And, again, we did that work, a little bit of customization work for them according to their specifications, so that now their suppliers and their employees can sign on to the sourcing procurement contracts management system that has their suppliers, their contracts in it, using their IDs. So this is an example of a forward-thinking group, the business leaders working with the IT teams to deliver this sort of cohesive enterprise-wide solution. They understood all aspects of what it was they were trying to do.
And it sounds like in that particular case, IT and line of business needed to work hand in hand. I think one of the things with as a service, CIOs, and this is something I've heard, CIOs might be concerned that they'll be disintermediated and the line of business will go straight to the provider. But one of the surprising things that we found is that there is so much collaboration between IT and LOB when it comes to SaaS. This forward-thinking group in our study was two times more likely to have a strong collaboration between IT and LOB. Have you seen good examples of that, where people are working together hand in glove, IT and line of business?
Let me sort of go across the pond here to Europe, and there's always a lot of dialogue about is there a geographical difference here? But this is an example from Europe. El Corte Inglés, which is a worldwide leading department store, they mostly based out of Spain, Spanish distribution system. 70 years they've been at this, and they adjust what's in their supply chain based on fashion and the needs of society. So we have multiple projects over there with our Corte Inglés as a service. So one is the order management. That's purely, an on-prem system ran by their IT team. We also, to the line of business, do pricing optimization, similar to what I described with Wakefern Group, where we help them achieve a 2-5% gross margin improvement in over 30 different grocery categories. Again, that's using our Demandtech pricing optimization entirely as a service. But specifically to your question about this collaboration between IT and line of business, Okocha Inglés had an online, an e-commerce storefront that was running and serving Spain quite well. And their order management system is on-prem, as I described. But they wanted to enter new markets, Ireland, United Kingdom, and a couple of other countries. And the fastest way for them to do that was to deliver that as a service. So we did that for them. We stood up a commerce as a service environment. But here's where the collaboration between IT and line of business comes in. Because when you're running in that new as a service environment, so for example, if you're in United Kingdom and you're shopping on Okocha Inglés, when you actually make the order, you want to benefit from all of the on-premise order management system. You want to benefit from all of the pricing optimization system that already exists, and that's where their IT team comes in. Through the collaboration with the IT team, we are able to connect the new as-a-service system up to the existing on-premise order management system. And this allowed them to rapidly stand up the new as-a-service system and get all of the benefits of all the back-end supply chain integration. That's an example of as if that collaboration had not been there, you'd have ended up with a sort of an orphan or a standalone sort of circa mid-1990s standalone e-commerce system that's not connected to anything else. That's I think Okocha Inglés really a great collaboration between IT and line of business.
So that last example is a great one of a collaboration between IT and LOB. What we also saw was that collaboration went further in some instances where there was an opportunity to collaborate with the ecosystem. The leading group we witnessed was almost three times more likely to have increased collaboration and improved relationships across their ecosystem. Have you seen examples of that where companies are using SaaS to be more collaborative with their ecosystem?
Yes. Of course, and here is the dichotomy, right? Many employees inside enterprises or organizations, when they walk out of the door at night, they feel like they have gone forward back into into the year of 2014, because they're now connected to all sorts of modern collaboration techniques and technologies. But when they work within the four walls of the organization or across the extended walls of the organization, they feel like they've gone back 20 years because all of their collaboration tools that they use internally are frankly so old. And so here's where I think a big shift is occurring very, very rapidly, which is the use of as-a-service collaboration tools within an enterprise. So I'm not talking about collaboration between IT and line of business. That's important. I'm talking about collaboration within the employee base within an organization. So, for example, collaboration among sales teams, collaboration amongst research and development, collaboration against financial operations. And that's where we have one company here they're called the Sika Group. They will be talking at our Connect conference that's coming up this quarter down in Orlando. They are a worldwide organization. They manufacture specialty chemicals for construction around the world. And what they're doing, what they will talk about at our Connect conference, is how they're using our collaboration as a service, our collaboration tools, IBM Connections is one of those tools, to allow for collaboration across all of their different lines of business. And, you think about this as sort of Facebook for the enterprise that can help ad hoc teams come together within an organization. They can connect that into their calendar, into presence awareness. They can share files without having to send the files around all over the place. They can establish communities to work on ad hoc work streams or activities. And they can update their profile in the same way that they would update perhaps a public profile on Facebook or LinkedIn. Here they can update their confidential profile for use by others within the organization. I know many of you at IBM, we use this on W3. This is the commercial version of that product being delivered for the Sika Group.
Interesting. And of course, as you collaborate, there's an opportunity to drive some decision making. And one of the things we found was that companies were using SaaS to make better decisions, and that the forward-thinking group were more them twice as likely to leverage SaaS analytics across their organization to turn data into insights. Have you experienced clients utilizing SaaS to drive analytical decisions? You kind of mentioned that in your pricing example earlier, but are there some others?
Yeah, of course, you know, analytics is so such a broad topic. You can apply pretty much it to any part of an organization. You can apply analytics to build a fact-based understanding of your business and to make decisions based on what you specifically know, not what you think you might know, or, you know, using a hunch. And so that's where analytics applied to different lines of business within an organization is another hot area. The challenge here with the traditional on-premise delivery form for analytics is typically it's around skills to operate the analytics platform. That can get in the way of the line of business understanding around analytics. And one area where this is more true than the most is around risk. I think many of you know that companies are taking a far more mature view to analytics around risk, so they can understand their risk. They can still make a decision to have a risk in their organization, but they want to understand it and have modeled it and not have it be accidental. And so that's where, through our analytics team, business analytics team, we have a company called Fleet Risk Advisors, and their entire business runs off analytics that run as a service. Think of them as a risk management consulting firm that provides long-distance trucking companies with risk analytics around accidents or incidents or all sorts of insights into their fleet. We deliver to them risk analytics as a service. And so they're able to reduce minor accidents by 20% for their customers. So think of this fleet risk who are using our customers for their customers, which are trucking companies. They're able to reduce minor accidents by 20%, and they're able to reduce serious accidents by as much as 80% by deploying analytics, in this case risk analytics, as a service. I mean, you have to go a long way in most businesses to find a return that is as dramatic as that, which I think it just shows you that we've really just scratching the surface of analytics that run as a service.
That's a great example. And, of course, having those analytics and being able to basically see the world, and it sounds like in that case be predictive and prescriptive in how to manage risk, helps with market agility, I would assume, or being nimble, if you will. One of the things we saw that the forward-thinking group was more than twice as likely to use SaaS solutions to increase their innovation and reduce their time to market and improve their customer experience and even change their organization's business model. I'm wondering if you have any examples of people using SaaS applications to be more customer-focused or to be more agile.
Yeah, this is another hot area right now. Some people talk about this, about the difference between the system of record, the traditional systems like payroll, to systems of engagement, which is the systems that interact with the customer, whether that's in a B2C or a B2B environment. So there's been a lot of activity around using as a service to improve those systems of engagement, as in you're delivering a system to a customer and you believe you know how it works, but you don't know exactly how it works. And so by wiring analytics as a service into those customer-facing systems, which themselves may be on-prem or off-prem, but by wiring analytics into those customer-facing systems, we can provide companies, organizations, an immediate view into what is happening in those customer-facing systems. So you might think of this as areas where customers are struggling, areas where they're having difficulty, areas where they're not converting. And we have many great capabilities that we've acquired that we take to the market. One customer here is it's an airline, actually. And if you think about an airline, you go through a lot of work to get your customer to buy an airline ticket, and it's quite a high price item. You know, for anywhere between $30 to $3,000 or $13,000. You go through quite a lot of effort to get the person into your funnel to now be ready to buy or find the ticket. And so this is an area where there's a lot of great return. The company that I'm thinking about is Virgin, Virgin Airlines, which is, and this is around, this customer has spoken for us at one of our marketing summits, is when they chose to relaunch their homepage of the Virgin online booking system. We wired into them digital analytics into that system, and we gave them the tools to explore where customers were falling off. And so what they found out was that there was a drop in flight bookings. And it turns out that, there was one of many, many examples, was that the flight search box, which was new, it wasn't big enough. It wasn't visible enough. People were getting confused about how to use it. Now, you may ask, how could you get confused on how to use a search term? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you think about what that box should look like. If you know that customers are getting confused because your analytics have told you that, you should do something about it. And so what they did is they did something, straightforward. They expanded that box, put in some additional options, and they literally watched the number of bookings shoot right back up. And so this is an example of, in this case, it's a search item. But every day, digital analytics delivered as a service, wired in this case into Virgin's booking systems, lets them adjust and tune and improve and find different ways by which they can create sort of a more engaging series of interactions for the customers. Again, another area of great returns for many, many businesses.
Now, that's great. And, Craig, you really shared a lot of great examples of companies using SaaS for more than cost efficiency and using it for a competitive advantage or other business advantage. I'm curious, as we wrap up here, if somebody's listening and they want their company to be more forward-thinking when it comes to SaaS, do you have some suggestions for them?
Yeah, I think a lot of people think about intellectually this idea of using as a service is quite attractive. It means you require less capital. It means you need less operational expense. It means that you avoid the risk because you're not buying the labor to install and configure something. The challenge is, well, what do you do next? And I would offer that we've got a couple of different ways that we've figured out how to help customers. So one is we can run many of these as a service offerings as a trial. It's not lifetime dancing lessons. You're insofar as you get value from it, you pay for it, and if you don't get value from it, you don't pay for it. It's a very exciting time, Steve.
Craig, I want to thank you. This was a really engaging conversation. I learned quite a bit, and thanks for sharing some examples of how these forward-thinking companies are using SaaS. So if you want to learn more, please visit ibm.com/IBMCAI/SaaS. Thank you and take care.